Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy: family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
What time is it?
You're locked into the flagship, an Ole Miss podcast powered by College Corner.
Here we go.
One, two.
Get your daily Rebel sports fix at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com.
Welcome into the flagship Hit That Line edition. I'm your host, Zach Berry. This podcast comes to you each and every day thanks to our good friends at College Corner, three locations: Oxford, Ridgeland, Flowood. And if you can't get there, collegecornerstore.com. They have got everything you need for the Grove, for whatever the color is that you need to wear for each game. I believe if I effort really quick, the color for Wake Forest, I believe, is red. Efforting, I think that's what it is. Ole Miss Wake Forest on the CW. So make sure you check your local listings that you got CW. The Rebels will be kicking off, I believe, 5:30 Central Time. And Winston-Salem taking on the Deacs that laid an egg last week. Blew a 2-touchdown lead, lost to Virginia at home. So not a lot of buzz in the dash heading into this one. It's a big number. We're going to get into it. I also want to remind you that this show is brought to you by our good buddy Drew Moak and USA Benefits Group. If you want to cut those health insurance premiums by 20 to 30%, Drew Moak is your guy. Give him a call, 601-953-8449. Or go to usabg.com/DMOAK and get that free quote. All right. Without further ado, we'll bring in 2/3 of the Legal Gambling Council as Nick will be joining us a little bit later. He is actually preparing to head to Winston-Salem. He will be heading there tomorrow. I will be leaving early Friday morning. So we'll bring in Austin and Ben. Gentlemen, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. It's the title of the episode. I don't think Ole Miss is favored by enough here. I don't know how high the number. I'd probably still lay them if it was in 35-38 range.
Okay. I do see there's been some late movement. It's sort of crashing a little bit. It's 23.5 all week until just a couple hours ago. Now I think some 22.5 and 22 flats are hitting the board. I think that's interesting. Do we know if there's going to be weather? Any idea?
It's got to be. I was on mute. It's got to be weather related. I mean, I think 35, 38 is when it gets sharp. I don't know that I would lay 30. I mean, 38 is a 45 to 7 push. Mm-hmm. Not that I think Wake's going to score much more than 7. I just don't know that we're going to get to 45 depending on weather. This looks like a, you know, 38-7 game to me, 38-10. And you might – they could flirt with, you know, scoring late and covering. 38-17 would be a good road win at a bad Power 5 opponent. And we wouldn't cover that line. With that said, I anticipate Ole Miss is going to cover. I'm not sitting here, you know, saying otherwise.
So the 10-day forecast per weather.com, Saturday PM showers, 33%. The last that I had looked, it was looking like the rain was going to dissipate around kick. And I believe I can double check here. I think that this is it. A Legacy Federal Credit Union Stadium. I think that's how you say it. I believe it is an artificial surface.
I think that's right.
So, you know, not going to be super sloggy like on grass.
The rain wouldn't worry me as much as the wind. Do we know if it's going to be windy at all?
Wind.
Not to turn this into a weather podcast completely, but.
Nine miles an hour from the east, northeast. That's not bad. Yeah, I mean. You know,
it was windier than that last Saturday, frankly. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know it's a lesser ACC opponent, so that's one reason it reminds me of this game. But this is sort of reminiscent of the Georgia Tech game a couple of years back because of the line as well. I think we had that one perfectly handicapped. I kind of feel similarly here. I don't think this number approaches 64.5. I don't see Kiffin running it up to prove a point, and I don't see Wake putting up more than, say, 17. I think 17 is, like, optimistic case for them, assuming they get maybe a short field or a long punt return, you know, something crazy. Under might be the move here.
You think?
If it's 42-14.
Yeah, the under is – could be – now that you say it, the under could be the move because Wake Forest just may not score enough.
That's what I'm saying. If we put a 45, they're going to need to get into the 20s.
You're just going to be stressing because we start so hot that, like, when do we let off the gas? Is it at 17? Is it at 24? Is it at 31? That's when you're going to – because that's when the second unit will go in the second half. And if they only have to score twice, well, that's – nerve-wracking. If they have to score three times, you're probably safe.
So here's the thing, though, and don't get me wrong, I think if we run the full offense, even with Austin Simmons and company in, we probably can still execute against Wake. But Wake's defense is not Middle's defense, and they're not Furman's defense. Like, they will put up some resistance against our twos, surely, right? I mean, we're not putting 21 on their with our second string against their, presumably, they're starters, right? I mean, we're not going to do that, right? Surely they have some pride.
So, early indications. Early indications through the first two games. I mean, Dart played well into the third.
Yeah.
For both. So, and yeah, I don't think this is Kiffin running up the score. I mean, I think it's just they're running the offense.
Yeah. No, we've said that all along. Like, he's going to keep running plays with the backups in. They're going to run the offense.
And then another thing to consider about the under, Austin, which you're kind of talking me into it now, is, you know, there's no real decline when the second string defense goes up, especially the front seven. So they're going to get after Bachmeier and that offense. And look, we joked about it last week in the group text. That slow mesh against Walter Nolan and JJ Pegues and that ain't gonna work.
Yeah, no.
Like, that's not gonna work.
No, so also, like, keep in mind, this is like not a even if we were had a normal Ole Miss team, which I know that the good Ole Miss team in 08 went over there and lost, but even if we had a normal one, Wake is a school. I mean, if their stadium seats like 30,000 people. Mm-hmm. They don't take the sport the same way that we do.
No.
I mean, they don't have end zones. Either one. I mean, they've got a berm on one side, but all they have are sideline stadium seats.
Yeah.
It's a different, you know, they're recruiting a different type of player. I would love to know what they have in NIL. I mean, what would their roster's salary be? 500,000? Is it that much?
Maybe. Dude, unless Chris Paul is involved, it's probably not much more than that.
If they have NIL, I would think that, for one, I think Steve Forbes is getting a good chunk, and I think now Tom Walter's getting a good chunk for baseball.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, our guy Stephen Hartzell, he's there on the ground every day. He lives up there, and I was talking to him yesterday, and he said the same thing. He was like, dude, the number's not big enough. Like, he's like, I'm telling you. He's like, Ole Miss is damn good, but Wake is not good. Mm-hmm. He's like, man, Dave Clawson's a great coach. He's had some really good teams, but like this Ole Miss team paired with just that program where it's at right now, like it should get ugly. I mean, barring a monsoon, it should be a good day for Ole Miss fans, is kind of the way he put it.
And to his point, I've got a ton of respect for Clawson. I just don't think he's a magician. I mean, he's just not going to be a miracle worker. They don't have the guys anymore.
No.
You saw him. He's already laying the groundwork talking about how good this Ole Miss team is. He compared them to the Clemson teams that won national championships. He was talking about all the, you know, the NFL draft picks that are on this team. He knows what's coming down the track.
He's probably right also, you know. Like, he probably does have a lot of similarities to the Clemson teams that won the national championship.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he's poor mouthing. I mean, I think he's telling the truth. He didn't say this shit about Virginia last week. You know, like I think he's being honest.
Yeah.
So as we sit here and talk, the first half number is 13.
Lay them.
Right?
I mean, I think this is going to be like.
How's this not 31?
I was going to say, like, it's going to be like 33-7 or something.
Yeah.
If they get in the end zone. I mean, again, better than Furman, better than NPSU, but I mean, the Ole Miss defense is legit, man. And I think it's kind of a defense that's only gonna get better with more reps. Just guys getting more comfortable with the scheme, and you know, because it's a good mix of new guys via the portal, but then there's some experience. You've got Trey Washington and John Saunders in the secondary that know it. You've got Jared Ivey, J.J. Pegues, Xavier Harris up front. You know, you've got Kari Coleman, Tyler Banks at the second level, Suntarian Perkins. He's a first-year guy. I'm just kind of pointing out, like, the two guys are in the system. But, like, it looks like all the new guys are locked in. Like Trey Amos looks like he's been in the system for 4 years.
You Dottery. A second ago, you said, and not to get off track here, but you said, you know, not like Furman and Middle are not as good as Wake, but is Middle a fourth quarter game with Wake? I mean, are they?
I don't know. I mean, they struggled to put away Tennessee Tech. Like
they did, but you know, I Wake beat Richmond like 34-13. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, they struggled. So Virginia put up 430 last week against them. Virginia, 430.
They also had six sacks.
Yeah.
Does Virginia have a lineman? Real question. I don't know this. A lineman in our three deep on defense?
No. I mean, did y'all watch? Probably. I had that game on like the second TV because we had moved upstairs from the basement for the nightcap, so I didn't have all the screens. But I had this one on the second screen just because it was Wake. Dude, that game was wild. I mean, it was.
I watched some of it just because I had Virginia money line, so like I was invested.
So it was a tight first half, 20-17 at the break, and then it was 30-17 going into the fourth, and then Virginia scores 14 points, shuts out Wake in the fourth. The thing that stands out to me, and look, weather be damned, because again, like Ben said, if unless the wind's going ham, Anthony Calandria for Virginia threw for 357 against Wake. What do you think Jackson Dart's going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, part of this, Ole Miss can cover this line. It's not about how well the players play, because I think we're just going to outman them anyway. It's all going to depend on if our coaches want to.
Yeah.
Like, do they want – I mean, that's the scariest part about when you start handicapping games like Ole Miss, Wake Forest. Lane Kiffin would run the score up on Georgia if he could. Lane Kiffin is not going to run the score up on – well, I mean, I guess he may, but we just don't know whether he will or not against Wake.
Yeah.
So that's the – there's no question that, I mean, anytime you start getting into the 20s, one team is clearly better than the other. Is he going to take the Urban Meyer approach and guarantee a cover for his boosters? Or is he going to play with his food and try to send a message to the team, like try to, you know, play with a little bit of adversity and deliberately run the ball? I mean, I think he did that against Middle Tennessee, not for those reasons. I think he just wanted to establish it, and Dart checked out of the runs. Frankly,
but even saying that, 48-14 is under.
Yeah, that's
64? Is that the total?
64.5.
That's big, man.
Here's
a big number, dude. It's the same conversation that we had with Georgia Tech 2 years ago. It really is. Like, how does this go over?
Yeah.
Unless we could score 60. That's how it goes over.
I'll tell you this: if it goes over and we don't score 60. We're going to have to practice on defense.
We got to reevaluate some shit. Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to be 11-1 anymore.
So what I was going to bring up to that point. Now, North Carolina A&T and Virginia, both terrible. But Wake had over 500 total yards in both games. Mm-hmm. So they're putting up yards.
Yeah.
So now, again, it's against some terrible defenses. We'll see what the Ole Miss defense looks like. Especially, you know, after those first couple scripted drives, which it may not even matter. Ole Miss might just get three and outs left and right. So it just, you know, it may not even be a concern, but if we're going to, you know, look at this from a bettor's perspective, 500 plus total yards in both games has got to be something that you're paying attention to a little if you're looking at that first half number. But I don't buy that at all. I'm sticking with the theme of I think this number's too low. Like if it was 27.5, 28.5, I'd still lay them. I think Ole Miss absolutely hammers them. I think and I don't even think it's running it up. I think this team is just motivated to prove through the first four games that, hey, we're for real, we're ready for prime time, all of that. And then, hell, it might be through the first five games because I think Kentucky is just absolutely terrible.
Yeah. No, I think we all agree. It's not a question of can we cover. It's a question of will we cover.
Sure.
You know, what is our mindset in the fourth quarter when the back door might be open? And our third string defensive line is in, and Matt Jones is toting the rock. You know, are we going for the throat? Or even, let's just say we're running the offense, which we expect. I expect that. I think y'all do too. You know, is our third string offense capable of executing to the point where they put up 10 in the fourth and suddenly it's 55-14 instead of, you know, 45-14?
Yeah. I mean, hell, there might be a late backdoor over because, I mean, Austin Simmons could get out there.
Yeah. That's what he's saying.
Exactly. Yeah. That's my point, is that, you know, the front door cover is right there.
I don't see a scenario where Wake covers the point spread.
I'm with you.
But I see a scenario where it would be a bad beat, but where this game goes over. Like, that's more likely than Wake covering the point spread. I think. Yeah, I don't. Right. I mean, 22.5 is a lot, but it's not really. I mean,
3.5 possessions is what you're talking. You know,
41-20 is a Wake cover, and it still hits the under, and nobody's really mad at 41-20. It's like, oh, well, 141-20. What was the final score of that Georgia Tech game a couple years ago? I remember we were up like 35-0, but what was
42-0.
42-0. Dang.
Yeah.
That really
remember y'all, they didn't even threaten. Remember? Like they never even threatened.
I know.
Like that, it was not even a
possibility here, honestly.
I think so. I was gonna say, is this Wake team better than that Georgia Tech team? Can we say that for certain?
No, but we're a lot better than that Ole Miss team.
We are, for sure. On both sides of the ball.
Yeah. I mean, we have the same players on offense that we did then.
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, look, though, we were running out. Who was our wide receiver one that year?
Drummond.
Drummond.
Yeah.
Or.
Yeah, Drummond. Yeah, I mean, there was nobody else. It was Drummond, Jakor Pearson, Danis Jackson,
Zach Evans,
AC in the Kelly. Yeah, with Zach Evans and Quinshon, that was good.
Yeah. So
and Zach had a big day that day. Is that right?
He did.
Box score. Oh no. We're getting the receivers mixed up. That was 21. 22 was Malik Heath, Jonathan Mingo, Jordan Watkins.
Oh, so we didn't even have Drummond.
Yeah, because he was with Corral.
He was better than all those other ones that you just said. No offense to him. I mean, Watkins is better now, but Drummond was a good player in college.
He was, but I mean, Malik Heath and Mingo are in the NFL.
Yeah, better NFL players, but give me Drummond for college.
I don't remember them doing anything that day, did they? I mean, that game's such a blur. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, and I will say Malik Heath got better as the year went on.
Yeah,
we also
were of a factor.
Jumped Georgia Tech. If I recall, we blocked a punt and scored.
Yeah.
We, Zach Evans or Quinshon had a long run and we scored. Dart had the play where he ran the guy over in the sideline.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then, that game was over with before.
It was over with at halftime. Yeah,
21-0 in the second quarter.
Yeah,
because you had Zach Evans had a short run, Judkins had a short run, Zach Evans had a 26-yard run. Then in the third quarter, Judkins had a short one, Bentley had a 15-yarder, and then Bentley had another one. That was the game.
But I remember the number was like 63.5, right? We were like, there's no way. There's no way.
Dart only threw the ball 16 times.
Yeah.
Like,
that's Zach why you Evans, don't remember anything about the receivers.
Yeah. It's true. Like, Malik Heath had 4 catches for 78. Mingo had 3 for 74. But yeah.
3 for 74.
Yeah. I mean, Zach Evans went 18 for 134. Judkins went 19 for 98. Dart ran for 40, and Bentley had 27 yards and 2 touchdowns. So, I mean, it was just a methodical, you know, over 300 yards on the ground. Pretty ho-hum.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be Saturday.
I was going to say, I don't know that this Wake team is better than that Georgia Tech team. I don't know that. I mean, that team got their coach fired, the next week or whatever. But, and I think Clawson is far superior to anybody that was on the Georgia Tech sideline that game. Like,
from a talent standpoint, they're not any better. They're going to be better coached.
Right.
But we're going to be significantly more talented than that Ole Miss team.
Yeah.
Right. I just don't see how – I mean, Wake's just going to have to hit some big plays. They're going to have to hope for some busted coverages because it's not like Dave Clawson can run the slow mesh and play keep away because the front seven's – for Ole Miss is so good.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't like we're going to drain the play clock and just methodically 3 yards in a cloud of dust. You're going to be lucky to get one.
What are we going to do? We need to put like Sun Taren at some rush in and just tell him to sprint after the quarterback every play. Just go run.
Ignore the mess. Just hit the quarterback.
Just ignore everything and hit the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Treat it like old school option. You have to hit the quarterback every play.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, I think we're all over it. I mean, hammer the line, hammer the under. It's probably going to be a lot like that game.
I think the most attractive thing, as we've talked through it, I like first half.
What would you say it was 13?
13. How's this not 28-7 I mean, how's this not 31-9
at the half? We're the best value in Vegas right now. I'm not kidding. It doesn't make sense.
And after last week, like, fade everything we're saying, by the way. But how's this not 31-9 at half? 33-13
I tell y'all what's going to happen is we're going to get favored by, like, 12 or 11 against Kentucky, and I'm going to, like, take everything in my account and put it on that in a couple weeks. I'm serious.
I mean, Kentucky's got a quarterback problem.
They got an O-line problem, too.
They got a lot of problems. I mean, South Carolina went in there and beat that ass.
Yeah.
I mean, whipped them. I mean, first of all, look, it's not going to matter, but the Dylan Stewart kid's a problem.
He is.
Oh, he's so good. He's going to get a huge NIL.
Yeah, he's going to look great in red and blue.
It may not be from South Carolina.
He's going to be a Reb. Come transfer to the SIP.
Randall Joyner. Randall Joyner is going to be sure to go shake his hand during pregame.
Dude, we're going to free up some cap space after this class, after these guys leave with, you know.
Give him what Nolan got.
Pete's going to come down from the press box pregame to talk to him.
Dude, give him what Nolan and Princely are getting.
Yeah, agree.
He's a freak.
Did you see him beat the triple team?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That was absurd. I mean, he's doing stuff that regular freshmen don't do.
No, he's phenomenal. I'll say this, though. He's faced, like, okay, ODU, come on.
Yeah.
Then Kentucky, they couldn't put the paws on him, man. Like, he kept beating them around the edge, ducking under. I'm interested to see what happens when a guy like Pettis finally connects, you know?
Yeah. Pettis was going to kill that guy for middle going into half.
Oh, my God.
I was like, why are y'all picking on the biggest player in the stadium?
Well, first
Pettis
of all,
is so huge.
First monster. Of all, you're going to come after the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to have two or three linemen that are enforcers that are going to come protect their quarterback. And then you're going to keep running your mouth.
Yeah, keep yapping.
Like, what are you doing?
I'm telling y'all, man, I don't know what Micah Pettis is listed at, but he's one of the biggest football players we've ever had.
He's a monster, dude. He's a monster.
You can see how big he is compared to everyone else. Like, he is enormous.
The video in the tunnel.
I know. He's side by side with Dart.
Yeah, and then just all the DBs that are around him. I mean, it looks like me when I pick up my kids from school.
He's about to kick some folks out of the club.
It's
time for the people to go home. Yeah.
350?
350, okay.
Jeez. I mean, he's big, man. I can't imagine what size hat he wears. Like an 8.5?
Yeah, when Nick gets on here, he'll have to do the math for us. I want to know the average across the board for the O-line because, I mean, he's not the only one. I mean, they're all big.
No.
They're all big. He just has this extra look to him of just.
He's got the tapes.
He looks like an NFL player, just being honest.
Mm-hmm. Looks like a mauler, you know.
Yeah.
Like, if that dude played for the Steelers, you'd be like, yep, that tracks. That's perfect.
All right.
Do y'all know, or we need to?
No, let's go ahead and jump into some picks here. Nick will be here momentarily. Last week, we're not going to duck. We're not going to duck the smoke. It was a tough week for everybody.
Brutal.
Just overall, we're not going to deal with the units or anything because y'all can translate for me because I'm not going to do it, but just straight up, Austin went 0-5, but then hit every money line sprinkle he had, so that's big. Ben was 3-2, missed on the NC State money line.
I did hit the USC money line though. Carolina.
Did hit South Carolina. So you were 1-for-1 on money lines. Nick was 2-2. He missed on both Michigan and Mississippi State. Tough scene there.
Stop water carrying. I don't know when though.
I don't know. It's a bit, I guess. I was 2-3. Cam Rising is still made of glass, so that ruined Utah minus four. I mean, they were well on their way to winning by 28 points.
And he's out this week, too, by the way. Have you seen that? He's out.
How old is that guy?
Dude, he's in like
his seventh year. It's time to go to work.
Did you see the hit? Did you see how he got hurt?
Yeah.
Dude, he got slammed in that Gatorade cooler. I know that hurt. Kansas looked like shit. Illinois whipped them. I missed on that one. And then Oregon, of course, looked bad again against Boise. I think they're frauds.
Oregon may just be bad.
Arizona State hit. Wazoo was I was feeling good about that one. They laid it on Texas Tech up on the Palouse, and then BYU moneyline cash.
That was clutch. SMU is cheeks, man. They're not
good. Suck. They already benched Preston Stone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look.
So straight up with like picks and money line, 26-27 on the year. So not terrible.
No, we're treading water. We're right.
Well, no, I mean, we're at 20, if you include the money line, we're positive in the units.
That's right.
Because we got, we've had several, you know, I mean, you got almost six in the first week. I had three this week. You had three this week. Austin had three this week, all in money line units. So, I mean, it's not – we're probably four or five units up on the year, which isn't bad after 2 weeks.
No. We're starting to get more data points, man. I mean, you're just guessing in week one. I mean, nobody knows
you are.
In week one.
Yeah.
And then in week two, you're dealing with overreactions. And like I told y'all in the group text, I talk shit about not betting overs this year because of the coach communication. And I proceeded to bet overs, like five of them, and lost every damn one of them. So maybe don't bet overs.
All right. We can get to the action on Thursday and Friday if we need to, but let's just get to Saturday first because the morning slate, pretty fun.
Your boys. Hey, there's a good game Friday night.
There is.
Yeah, go ahead, Zach. Go ahead.
Yeah, we'll get to it. Just kind of the heavy hitters out the gate on Fox. You've got Alabama at Camp Randall going up against Wisconsin. I'm going to go ahead and just jump on the board here, and I'm going to double check the line to make sure. Let me refresh. I'm taking the over. I think Alabama's going to, you know, a bit of a get right game here. And it's not much. I had it at 50.5 earlier today.
It's gone down 49.5.
Oh, even better. Right now I'm seeing 49.5 across the board. Yep. All right. So, 49.5. I think that's easy. I mean, I think 42-10, 49-10. I mean, I think Bama's going to roll. No question.
Yeah, I think Bama does most of this work themselves. I can't see Wisconsin slowing Alabama down. Now, Alabama does have some injuries on their offensive line. I don't know that it matters against Wisconsin's defensive line. Like, this is not the Wisconsin of yesteryear. Like, no. They are not good in the trenches. The Phil Longo experiment is not going well. They can't push the ball downfield because their quarterback is 40 with a bum shoulder. I'm drawing a blank on the kid's name from Miami. What's his name? Van Dyke?
Tyler Van Dyke, yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's washed. They don't have any weapons. Yeah. they don't have any weapons. I think Bama hangs a number here.
Yeah, I think this is
– I would lay the points here with Alabama, but for last week, I don't trust them enough right now. They're going to go up there and whoop. I mean, if you tell me like casually, you know, ask me what's the final here, and I'm anywhere from 35-3 to 52-17. Like, I don't know. I don't think Wisconsin keeps. I mean, it opened at 8.5. It's gone. It's, you know,
it's crazy. I know.
It's moved 8 points. I mean, it's at 16 or 16.5 now. I want to lock in lay in the points. I just can't do it. I don't trust them yet. However, when's the last time that Alabama in the regular season against a true playoff contender played a game that close? It's just, I don't remember that. Like, they'll lose to Tennessee or they'll play Ole Miss close or whatever. those teams would go to Wisconsin and dog walk them. Alabama doesn't. I mean, I guess maybe the Arkansas game last year, but that's a fluke. This isn't. Alabama rolls. I'm not going to lock it in, but I want to.
No, I'm with you. If this was like 2013 Wisconsin, I'd be all over the points here. But I just, this is just not those teams. They're not those dudes anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect, I'm not burying the guy yet, but I did think Fickell would have it turned around, would have them at least headed in the right direction. And I don't think they're very good right now, man. Like, they're just not the same program they were 5 years ago.
Couple numbers here. Since 2005, Wisconsin's biggest line as a home dog is 14.5. And that was Ohio State last year, which was
last year.
24-10 Ohio State win. So it was a cover. Before that, the last plus 14 or higher number was 97 against Michigan. Michigan won the national championship that year. In the past 35 years, Wisconsin is 0-11 straight up as a double-digit home underdog.
Damn.
That's pretty staggering.
Now, one thing that is interesting, when is the last time Bama played a game like this, a true road game against a Power 4, Power 5 opponent? They don't seem to ever do this.
Yeah, why does
Am I just not remembering?
Why does no one ever give them shit for this?
I don't know. I guess because they're just fucking dominant.
They get a bunch of neutral side games at the beginning of the year.
They play a bunch of neutrals. But
Atlanta kicks where they play like NC State and people are like, ooh, or Virginia Tech. They're like, ooh, look at Bama playing this tough team. I'm like, whatever, man. I mean,
but they used to play in Jerry World, you know, a couple years in a row.
They played SC and then just beat the tar out of them.
They played Florida State 1 year on a neutral.
Yeah.
But I don't remember the last time Bama went to an out-of-conference
on campus
P5. Mm-hmm. Do y'all? I can't even remember.
Mm-mm. Did they play at Miami recently?
Wait, hold on. They went to Texas 2 years ago, right?
Yeah. Wait. Okay. Yeah, they would have.
Yeah. So that's one.
So here it is. Alabama's non-conference road games under Nick Saban. Let's see. 2010 went to Duke. 2011 went up to Penn State.
I don't even remember that.
22 went to Texas. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
11 years.
Two games, basically. Duke doesn't count. I'm not like, whatever.
So now, future non-conference. This year at Wisconsin. Next year at Florida State. At West Virginia in 26. At Ohio State in 27.
That'd be
at Oklahoma State in 28. At Notre Dame in 29. At Georgia Tech. At Boston College.
These are all going to be neutral sites. No way they're going to that many road campus games.
This says.
And if we go to a 9-game conference schedule, they're going to pull out of some of these.
Yeah.
Not because they're scared or anything, because the scheduling is just not going to work, probably, is my
right. I guess. Mean, the games that are scheduled for 28, 29, 30, like, those are just.
Yeah, we're playing the Buffalo Bills in 28.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. LSU, South Carolina, 11 a.m., ABC. I was really hoping for a night game here. Now that place, like, those people will be on the ceiling, brother. Like, they will be fired up because it's been a minute.
I'm frankly thankful for this, right? Like, now this has become the biggest game of the year, and it's, you know, they're still going to be fired up when Ole Miss gets there, but it's at least not going to be like boiling over because they're going to have gotten some of their load out, frankly.
Mm-hmm. This is a, dare I say, must win for LSU. They got to build some good faith.
I mean, you lose this one, dude. Not only are you on the outside looking into the playoff, you may be like 7-5 if you lose this one.
Okay, so that's exactly right. So this is going to be my first lock, and I'm going to take the points and the Gamecocks. Matter of fact, I'm also going to moneyline sprinkle South Carolina here.
Yeah, I like it. I thought about it. I don't. Who is LSU to lay 7 on the road in the SEC right now?
They don't okay, what's his name? The Nuss Bus or whatever they call him. He is a nice quarterback, and Lacy is legit, okay? But they lost their, to me, their true best offensive player in the running back. And also, they're still average on defense, and their elite defender is a tweener. Like,
yeah.
Harold Perkins is a great player, but it's
playing
not
out of position.
He doesn't have one. He frankly should be like a strong safety and move to the secondary, but you're not going to do that at LSU because he's disruptive up front. But they don't have like a true elite tackle on defense.
They just lost their best defensive tackle to a torn Achilles.
Yeah, there is no Glenn Dorsey over there or Cad Lavallee. Like, this is not.
Oh, what a pull.
Yeah. For the listeners out there, there's no Booger McFarland on LSU's team this year.
Yeah. So entering this week, LSU's lost three consecutive games against the spread. The Tigers haven't lost four consecutive since 2016. But I'm with you, though. I think this is a perfect storm for South Carolina because, look, Nichols ran all over LSU last week. Mm-hmm. You know who's running back for South Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
Rocket Sanders.
Rocket Sanders, yeah.
So, and Lenora Sellers can run it too. I had Moneyline Sprinkle circled for this one. Ben got it.
We can both do it.
Grab it.
I know. I got a bunch, though. I was telling Austin I like this card this week. But, yeah, I like this pick. I think that environment is going to be just nuts. They haven't had game day there in a long time. The fans there are already rabid no matter what. And now that there's a pulse and you whip Kentucky, I mean, they're going to be wild in Columbia.
I could be wrong about this, but this also feels like a much more winnable game for them than Ole Miss. And I frankly think and let's be honest, if you look at over the last 20 years, it's a bigger name coming in too. So you get a more winnable game against what you would consider a blue blood if you're a South Carolina fan who doesn't play the SEC West a lot. I mean, we went like 15 years without playing them. And so, or 14, whatever it was. Point being is, there's blood in the water here. And like, you can beat they can beat LSU Saturday. Mm-hmm. Now, they struggled with ODU. And I think that the Kentucky game was, they whipped them. Don't get me wrong, the scoreboard is what it is. They jumped on Kentucky too, but where does what's it? Beamer, he's gonna. It's not like they're gonna run fun and gun and try to run this. Like, this is the games. He'll keep the game close.
Oh yeah, they're gonna run the ball.
Yeah, LSU's not gonna run in there and go up 28-0 and cruise to a win. Like, South Carolina will take the game into halftime 14-0 if they have to, and we get 7 points with it.
A couple years ago, I mean, this is a South Carolina team that was up on Georgia at halftime.
Yeah, that's right.
He knows how to coach these big games. And I wouldn't be shocked if he takes a sheet out of his dad's playbook. You get a block punt early.
Or a fake punt. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
this is back-to-back money lines for me with South Carolina. I like the matchup. We're going to see how good our tackle is against what's his face.
Took the words out of my mouth. Yeah, we're about to find out because South Carolina's defensive line is nasty from a pass rush perspective. Now, against the run, they're not great, but LSU can't run the ball. No. They don't have a running back.
No.
So, I think against the pass, we're about to find out how good those tackles are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Will Campbell, better watch your ass because, they're going to be –
Nuss is not mobile at all.
Look, I don't care what coaches say. They know this in the back of their mind. Shane Beamer knows there is nothing to lose.
No, dude.
Who cares?
He's a touchdown dog at home, man. Yeah, don't let your hair down and play. Yeah.
You got to be pounding that into your team all week. Like, hey, guys, we're just going to go out and have fun. Game day's here. We're on ABC. Like, everybody's going to be watching. You know, let's just go out there and just have a blast. And see what happens. Good pick, Ben. I'm big on that. I love it. Keeping the theme for Saturday morning
slate. Last thing on this, to Ben's point, and this is not a profound point, but this does feel like the game where South Carolina empties the clip and maybe pulls out some of the trick play bullshit and stuff. So maybe we don't have to see that when we go up there. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the game where he calls a double receiver reverse screen, whatever, or the fake punt. Maybe we won't have to deal with any of that stuff
now, in a couple weeks. On the flip side of that, if they do win, I don't know who they play between LSU and us.
I think they got a bye. They have a G5 and then a bye, I think.
Yeah, right. So we're going to be dealing with an undefeated South Carolina at that point. But I don't really care, man. We're old. Like, we have a fifth-year quarterback or whatever, however old he is. All of our play – look, I'm not really concerned. If we can't go to South Carolina and win, this is going to sound dumb because I just picked them to beat LSU. It's going to be hard to go to Tiger Stadium the next week and do it.
Yeah, they got Akron next week and then a bye, then Ole Miss. Yeah, good point, Austin. They can show some stuff that they probably, because that's
this like is the one. It's more gettable,
right? Yeah. I think I would say Ben said it. Like, you can get this one, probably not getting Ole Miss.
Let's be honest. We're the team that's been that for so long. It's like we're the team they serve. It's like, well, we'll get an SEC win right there. Like, we've been that team for Vanderbilt. In Kentucky, we get their best shot because they're not going to try those stupid plays against Alabama.
Yeah,
they know they're going to lose.
Exactly. You're down 40. Why run the halfback toss pass? You know, like save that one for the Arkansas game.
Yeah.
And for Beamer, like, it's a gettable game that you need to continue to, you know,
build some momentum, man. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. At 11, we've got the Memphis Tigers going down to Tallahassee. Doak Campbell, you've got Norvell's old assistant, Ryan Silverfield, coaching Memphis. We talked about it last week, man. I think Memphis might be the G5 wagon this year. They've got an experienced quarterback. I like Silverfield. He's done a hell of a job down there. I know I talked to a lot of my buddies who are Memphis fans, and they didn't like him for a while. Then they were kind of pissed that he was winning. And then by the end of last year, all of them were like, dang, pretty good.
You know when you discover a new binge-worthy show or that song you can't help but leave on repeat? You just have to share it with your friends, right? Because who doesn't want to spread awesomeness? Now you know how I feel telling you now about Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan today. It's such a good deal, I couldn't keep it to myself. My past plans have gone as high as $100. Friends don't let friends overpay for wireless. Time to say so long to those overpriced wireless plans and switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And don't worry, Mint Mobile will get all your old stuff off your old phone, including those existing contacts. So don't wait another second. Get your new three-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/TOC. That's mintmobile.com/TOC. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever. and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
I don't know if they can actually go down and do it. But if Memphis were to go down and win by 10, would you be shocked?
By 10, yeah, I'd be surprised. I want to dig into the number. Do y'all remember what the Boston College line closed out for Florida State?
No.
16.5. All right. Started out at 21, closed at 16.5. Y'all think Memphis is 10 points better than Boston College on a neutral?
No.
I don't. I think the number's too low.
Be a good game.
Yeah.
Be a good game. But
you're going to lock it in. I'm also locking in Florida State. If you are.
I think I'm going to do this. You can have the 6.5 if you want it, although I'm very tempted to lay the 6.5. I'm going to go over 52 as badly as overs burned me last week. I think Memphis can score some. Florida State has had a bye. They've had a week to lick their wounds. This is Norvell against his old team. If you don't scheme it up against this team, when are you going to scheme it up? It's over.
If Norvell loses to Memphis or if it's within a touchdown, they're going to fire him after the game. Like, you can't.
And Memphis's defense, let's be clear, is not good. Their offense is really good. Good quarterback, veteran receivers. Their defense is kind of trash, actually. And they gave up some points last week, even when – who they play? Tulsa? Who is – I'm forgetting. They lost their quarterback, though. Opposing team's quarterback went down, and they still gave it. Troy, yeah. I knew it was a T. Troy's starting quarterback went down, and Memphis still gave up some points in that game, a lot of yards. I think Memphis can get low 20s, mid-20s. I think this is the game where Florida State sort of imposes its will on a lesser G5 team and maybe gets high 30s. So I can see this like 37-24 FSU.
Yeah, I don't even think it's that close. And partly because DJU,
you think DJU can do that?
I think they go to the backup.
Yeah,
they have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because look, you've had the bye. You had the bye week to do that. That's what gives me confidence. You had the bye week to get the backup ready.
Yeah.
Brock Glenn, the Memphis kid.
Ah, I didn't even know that. Okay.
Yeah. I don't see Memphis hanging within a touchdown here. I think if it were at Liberty Bowl, I could see that. But going down to Tallahassee, this is going to be a game where. I think Florida State would win by closer to a touchdown if they were 2-0. But right now, they've got to get a get right. I mean, yes.
This is desperation.
We talk about it all the time where coaches need to run the score up on somebody. This is one where Norvell needs to do that. I mean, and he's going to. He's got incentive to. Even though I think he appreciates his time at Memphis, he knows that they're going to be fired. He'll have his team equally, if not more so.
Yeah. All right. Another fun one.
Over 52 for me. Lock that in.
Yeah, I got it. Another fun one early. Speaking of Boston College, going to Memorial Stadium, Columbia, Missouri. I think this is a watch your ass game.
It's too many, man. It's too many.
I'm talking about money line too.
Okay.
I think Bill O'Brien's gonna have them ready. I don't know if I might circle back. Maybe it's too cute because of what Boston College did to Florida State. I don't know. That was a well-executed game plan. I mean, they whipped Florida State from start to finish. Missouri, maybe, riding a little high. maybe I'm not going to say it's a look ahead spot to Vandy, but like the schedule's about to get real. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know, like maybe this is a game where Brady Cook lays an egg. I'll circle back, but I don't hate, I mean, especially 16. I mean, plus 16.
Zach's going to hit 2 500 point money lines and in the first 3 weeks. I'll say this. If Boston College goes to Missouri and wins, we have to start talking about them being a college football playoff team.
Win the ACC.
They could. So 3 years ago, Mizzou went up to Boston College. And I remember this because I locked it in on the podcast and I lost. Mizzou lost by 7 up there. And Boston College just lined
up.
That's
right. That's right.
And road graded them. Mizzou could not stop the rush. They couldn't. Now, those are different teams, different coaching staffs. So I'm not saying, you know, that's going to be indicative of how this game will play out. But that's how Boston College beat FSU. They lined up and road graded FSU. And Florida State wanted no part of it. Now, y'all tell me, who has better athletes, Florida State or Missouri?
Oh, yeah, Florida State. No doubt.
I just think 17, 16 and a half is a lot. That's
agree with that. Are y'all locking in the points? I'll lock in the points.
I'll ride with you. College. I'll ride with you. I'm going to do Boston College. Wait, can we get a 17 out there, Zach, or is it just 16 and a half?
I only see 16 and a half.
16 and a half.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. That's fine with me. I'll take the points.
So, Zach, you hitting money line?
I'm thinking about it.
I'm just telling you. Look, Boston College is not going to be rattled by this environment either. They just went to Tallahassee and won.
Does Missouri have an environment?
And Missouri's doing construction. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it'll even be a full – well, it may not matter. They're getting rid of that berm with the M.
And this is sleepy, like noon kick too. Like, isn't it going to be early? 11, yeah.
11:45, yeah. I might come back. I thought about it a lot today because I don't know, man. Bill O'Brien, like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's coached in the SEC. He's been in these types of games. He knows.
Dude, he's coached at Penn State and in the NFL.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, he was at Bama. Like, he's played in the SEC. Like, he.
Yeah, he knows these environments. Yeah, yeah.
So, I might come back. All right, kind of going through the rest of the schedule before we start knocking picks out. Let's go to Gainesville, 2:30, ABC, A&M, Florida. I will jump on here and lock in Florida money line. I think wrong team is favored.
I'm riding with you. You put money line for Florida on me also.
I don't even know if A&M is that good.
They're not. Now, if they have an 18-year-old quarterback who's like really good, maybe that changes things. But as long as Connor Wegman's our quarterback, they're going to suck.
Mm-hmm. I know Napier has said he's going to play both. I don't know if I buy that. We'll see. I think he might just be saying that. Mm-hmm. If DJ Lagway plays and he's just half as good as he was last week, I mean, they're going
to cannon. He's got a cannon.
I'll tell you what DJ Lagway is going to do. He's going to save Billy Napier's job.
He might.
He needs to play him. He needs to play him.
Yeah.
Like, if
Napier may be stubborn enough to not do it and play Graham Mertz, he needs to just go ahead and play Lagway and say, this is our future. And you win 7 games with a rookie quarterback. And the whole they're bought back in.
Oh, of course, you're exactly right. If you play Lagway and you win 6, if he plays Lagway and only wins 6, the crowd may be fully
bought. Well, and what happens is, I've not even looked at their schedule, but it was at A&M this week and at State next week.
That sounds right.
Let's see. They have A&M this week, at State next week, then they get a bye. So you go 2 wins into a bye, then you host UCF. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's
so you
winnable.
3 wins in a row, and now you're 4-1. Mm-hmm. And a 4-1 team just plays differently and you go to Tennessee, which is a loss, 4-2, but the fans are going to get that. Then you play Kentucky at home, you're 5-2. And now you're 2 wins from 7.
Yeah. Like, and your season win total was 5.5.
Oh yeah, he will. And you host LSU, which is suddenly very winnable, and you go to Florida State, which is winnable. So like we've got there's some before the season started, we talked 3-9. They couldn't cut. You know that no, not now. It now this could all
by
be
the way, Ben, those losses you mentioned, you know, Miami, and let's say they lose on the road at Tennessee, they likely will. Suddenly, both of those teams look pretty damn good.
Yeah, we're talking about college football playoff losses. Mm-hmm. Now, I know Florida expects that. But, again, if you do it with a freshman quarterback, a rookie quarterback, yeah, they're not going to care. Like that, you can sell that to save your job and will save your job.
Yeah.
Crazy stat here. It's been over 30 years since Florida – was Florida had three home games or more as an underdog in a single season.
That's a pretty impressive stat. It's a good run. Yeah. So probably I'm not going to join y'all money line, but I am going to take the points. I want the 3.5. With the total of 46.5, we're expecting a low scoring game, two offenses that want to grind it out. I think points will be at a premium. I think somebody wins 21-20. Like I just think it's going to be a meat grinder of a game.
Yeah. All right.
What's the total?
46.5.
Yeah.
46.5?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. I'm going to lock in the under.
Okay. I like it. How's this going over 46.5? Who's putting up 30? Nobody.
This is a 24-21 Gators win.
That feels right.
All right. Now, I'm trying to look and see what else we got on the slate. There's nothing that jumps out, so we can go ahead and start getting in some picks.
You don't want to touch the Apple Cup or the Civil War?
Yeah, I guess we can. It's weird that it's week three.
I know.
Oregon.
I'm just glad they're playing, man. I'm glad they're playing each other.
Yeah. I was afraid they wouldn't. So Oregon State, that is 230. Oregon, looks like they're laying 16.5, depending on the book. I don't know, man. Jonathan Smith is not at Oregon State, so it's a different team.
Aiden Giles is not at Oregon State.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like this is – seems like it is a game that Oregon wins handedly, but I'm not touching it. I don't trust
I'm going to lock it in. I'm laying 16 with Oregon.
Okay.
Oregon State's trash. They struggle with Idaho State, beat them by 23.
Mm-hmm.
And they did cover against – who they play, San Diego State last week?
San Diego State, yeah. Pitched a shutout.
Yeah. I know it's at home, but – opened at 20.5 and has steamed down to 16. Give me the free 4.5 points. I'm going to take Oregon minus 16.
So since 2021, the Beavers are 17-2 straight up and 16-3 against the spread in lined home games. That's the best in the country.
Damn.
Yeah.
Better than Utah.
They're due for a loss, baby.
But that was with Jonathan Smith. Yeah. Oregon State hasn't closed plus 14 or higher at home since 2019, and they're 4-11 against the spread in that spot over the last 20 years. So,
yeah,
kinda, I like the Ducks.
I think Oregon sucks. I mean, I think Oregon's overrated. I think Oregon State's just not good. Like But if there is a year for them to really, really, really play hard, it's this one.
Is this one
that being Oregon State?
Yeah.
Kicked out of the conference, yeah. Apple Cup, same time, 2:30. It's in Seattle. Washington's laying 4.5.
Is their quarterback hurt? This opened at 8.5.
I know, and I think it's a complete overreaction. I'm going to lock in the Huskies here. Last week, Washington State blew out Texas Tech, but that was one of the more deceptive box scores of the week. I think Tech had 5 turnovers. Tech was not playing their starting running back. They lost their starting defensive end, I think, like midway through the first half. So they were shorthanded, turned the ball over a ton. Washington State ended up running the ball all over them with their quarterback, which is, I think, was unexpected. I don't think that that type of approach is replicable. I don't think you can duplicate that. And I like Jed Fish. I think he's a really good coach. In fact, that's who Florida should hire as their next head coach, by the way. But look, we know him well. Will Rogers is not like an elite athlete, doesn't have a huge arm, but he's played a ton of college football to this point. He manages the game really well. And I think Washington skill players are much better than Wazoo's. And Fish brought over Arizona's running back up to Washington, Jonah Coleman, pretty good back. I just think they can control both lines of scrimmage and the tempo in the game. I think it's technically on a neutral field. Is that right? In Seattle? I think that's right.
Is it not at Alaska Airlines?
I don't think so, but maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't know. I just expect Washington to handle business here. Nothing crazy, but I think a 7-10 point win. And to Ben's point, this was 8 just like 5 days ago, and now it's 4, 4.5. For what? Why? Like, because Wazoo blew out Texas Tech after they turned the ball over 5 times?
Oh, weird.
That's not compelling.
It is. It's at Lumen Field.
Lumen Field. Okay.
Where the Seahawks play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So not on campus. Yeah. I mean, everything you said, you know, John Mateer is fun. The Wazoo quarterback. He can run. I think he was 9 for 19 for 115 against Texas Tech. You know, nothing crazy, but you know, they were whipping him. Now he did run for 197 in that game. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. He ran all over him.
Might pose a problem, but I don't know, man. I'm with you. I think Washington. I think Jed Fish gets it done. I mean, you're asking Will Rogers just not to crash the car at this point.
Yeah. And last year, again, different teams, different players. Last year, Jed Fish took his Arizona team up to Wazoo, and they beat the shit out of Wazoo at home. And that, and by the way, y'all remember the quarterback for Wazoo last year, right? That's Cam Ward.
Yep.
And I think they put up 6 points against Arizona last year. So Fish is familiar with the programs. I think he's going to understand the nature of the rivalry. I just think Washington is a superior program, even with the roster turnover they've had.
All right, staying in the afternoon slot, Paramount Plus. We are headed to West Lafayette, Indiana. Got Notre Dame at Purdue. All right, we all know what happened last week. Northern Illinois beats Notre Dame. 28-point dog. It's the worst loss for Notre Dame since 1995 when they – Irish were a 28-point favorite against Northwestern. This is Notre Dame's third loss straight up as a 20-plus point favorite within the first 2 weeks since 1990, most of any school in the country. So Notre Dame is – they are bound to lose a dumb one early.
Freeman's had some terrible losses.
Yeah. This is also Notre Dame's second loss as a 20-plus point favorite since 2022. They joined Fresno State and UNC as the only teams with 2-plus losses as a 20-plus point favorite. Notre Dame is a big favorite against Purdue. Last year, the Irish were 3-0 against the spread after a straight-up loss. Balling all of that up, throwing it out the window. Give me Purdue money line.
Oh,
Notre Dame is licking its wounds. They are embarrassed. They don't know what the hell they're getting from Riley Leonard. And the Boilermakers had a bye last week.
I can't.
The Spoilermakers. The Spoilermakers with a bye in week two.
They
prepping
are
for this.
They are geeked for this game.
It's like some Tommy Tuberville Ole Miss schedules. We have a bye in week one.
After Memphis, yeah.
The rare week two bye, yeah. So I'm taking Purdue plus 340.
Money. Yeah, so something you failed to mention, Zach. Leonard is banged up. Like,
yeah.
Hurt shoulder. Now, it's a non.
He looked terrible in that game.
Yeah, non-throwing shoulder. But before a running quarterback, your non-throwing shoulder is pretty damn important if you're going to shield yourself, protect yourself as you're running the ball, right? I don't know that they're going to run him very much. I don't think they can afford to run him very much. And that's the best part of his game. So if you make this Notre Dame offense one-dimensional with a quarterback that can't really throw the ball downfield, yeah. I like Purdue's chances to cover. I don't know that I like the money line, but I like their chances to cover here. I like you at least taking a dart throw at the dartboard because I don't know, man. They're limited. Their weapons are limited. And this is the first week Notre Dame will face a quarterback that can throw the football. They faced Wegman in week one and Northern Illinois' quarterback in week two. In case people don't know, Purdue runs a air raid now with Hudson Card at quarterback. And their offensive coordinator is, what's the dude's name? You know, the kid from Texas Tech. Old quarterback
Graham at Texas Harrell.
Tech. Graham Harrell. There you go. Sorry. I'm getting old.
Hudson Card last week was, or 2 weeks ago, was trying to do his best Jackson Dart impression. 24-25 for 273 and four touchdowns.
Yeah, like I don't think Card is elite or anything, but I think he's competent. And in an air raid offense that is ideally suited to his skill set, I think he could get the ball downfield against this Notre Dame secondary. I don't know, man. I mean, I'm warming up to your money line.
I do that buy to get ready. Purdue's a weird place, man. People go to die up there.
Yeah.
State lost there a couple years ago. Or maybe
Ohio State lost up there, like what?
Yeah.
4 years ago, something like that.
Time it's not happening 2 weeks in a row. Probably not.
That's why I said I'd like the points better than the money line, but I think Purdue can hang around.
This would be an all-time money line call if he hits it.
Yeah. All right. Y'all got anything? I mean, I got plenty to just throw out, and then y'all can jump on with me. I mean, let's go ahead and let's go to – where is it?
I can get a quick one out of the way.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm gonna lay 7 with Colorado against Colorado State. I just think Colorado State is a very bad football team this year. I don't think Colorado is good. They got destroyed last week against Nebraska. Their lines of scrimmage were in disarray all game.
They got smoked.
But their athletes are just far superior to Colorado State's athletes. The one dude that Colorado State has, Horton, I think, wide receiver, he's got an injured groin. He's questionable for Saturday. If he doesn't play, Colorado State doesn't have another Power 5 player on the field. Like, it's just going to be a complete mismatch in terms of talent. Deion needs a win. Shadur needs a win. Travis Hunter needs a win. I think this is one they can roll up Colorado State in like 45-28 or something. I think 7 is very light. I don't think Colorado State's home field advantage will be all that great. Granted, they won't. I mean, it's a rivalry game. They will want to beat Colorado. But I just, after playing in Lincoln, Nebraska, in that environment, and then going to Colorado State, this is going to look like a cakewalk.
Agree. I'm right, going to ride with Austin there.
I like it.
If
Colorado State had somewhat of a pulse, I would fade Deion, but not here.
So they're going to burn me again, but I'm going to take them again. I'm going to lay 28 with Auburn, and that's only because of what happened last week. I've watched Hugh Freeze enough. I know what they're about to do.
Yeah, and I want a part of this. I'm going to take Auburn team total over 44.5. I want to lock that in. This is a game where Hugh runs it up. And look, New Mexico's defense is one of the worst in the country. It might be the worst in the country. I watched their first game against, was it Montana or Montana State? Montana, maybe. They just ran up and down the field against New Mexico. I think Auburn can do the same thing. As long as Hugh doesn't get cute, which God knows he can do from time to time.
What'd you say the team total was?
44.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, fellas. Let's go to
New Mexico did put up 39 on Arizona. That brings me pause. But no, this is Auburn's been getting cussed all week. They're gonna drill them.
And in that game, what did Arizona put up?
Oh yeah, 61.
Yeah. All right. Thursday night, 6:30 ESPN. We're going to Bobcat Stadium in San Marcos. I am taking the Bobcats money line. I'm just the money line guy now. I think this is a good letdown spot for Arizona State after, came out the gates firing against Mississippi State, whipped them. The score, wasn't indicative of how the game went. They put it in, school zone cruise control, as I said, in the group text. I think this is a letdown spot, but also, I think this is probably more so because of what Texas State brings to the table here. G.J. Kinney has got a hell of an offense. They got Jordan McLeod, the kid from JMU, at quarterback. They got 9 returning starters. They put up 34 on Lamar, 49 against UTSA. McLeod threw for 309 and 2 touchdowns last week. Lincoln Parr is the running back, Germantown kid. Went to the bad high school, went to Houston, but he's toting the rock for the Bobcats. Last year, 15th in success rate, 19th in finishing drives, as well as 14th in passing success rate. Run the ball 52% of the time, which is kind of crazy. I think the defense was an issue last year, but I think with McLeod at quarterback, I think they're showing some signs of improvement on defense. And then again, I just think that this is going to be where Arizona State gets got after a big home win.
So I agree completely. Yeah, no, I completely agree with you.
Money line.
I don't think Arizona State has reached the point in the life of their program where they can be trusted on the road after a big win. As you know, they beat an SEC opponent for the first time in school history. Now they go on the road to San Marcos, a little sleepy, maybe reading their press clippings. By the way, Texas State has an outside shot now at the playoff. They may be the Group of Five team. They have all the incentive in the world to win this game. You know, they've had this one circled and they've been in cruise control through the first 2 weeks. Their offense is explosive. I think their lines of scrimmage are better than State's lines of scrimmage. So I don't expect Arizona State to run over them like they did Mississippi State. I love Texas State here.
Yeah. I'm kind of trying to decide what I want to do with this game because, some books have this as a pick 'em. Mm-hmm. Some have it at +1.5, +1.
Yeah, I see +1.
The money line's like -105. Yeah. So it's not even plus odds for the money line. I guess it doesn't really matter.
I guess in that case, I would just take the +1 because half.
That's probably what I'm going to do.
I'll
go Texas State +1. I think this is a Bobcats team that just wins outright. All right.
I've got one.
All right, go ahead.
Arkansas -24.5 against UAB.
Love it.
Yep.
They're going to run it up.
Yeah. They look good.
Yeah, Arkansas is good. They should have beat Oklahoma State.
For sure.
UAB, this is as much of an indictment on them. I think they were favored 11 against ULM and lost 32-6. And Louisiana Monroe is bad. This is not some like cute Western Michigan with PJ Fleck type situation. ULM sucks, and they beat UAB 32-6. Like, who plays for UAB for that to happen? And so, give me the Razorbacks.
Yeah, I love that. UAB's bad, and I think Petrino and that offense are going to be pissed off after putting up 600 and losing. That's a good pick. Let's go ahead and let's lock in Georgia. -24.5. Come on.
This makes me nervous.
This line?
Only because they have that game every year Well, like 31-7 covers for Kentucky.
True. I just don't think this Kentucky team can keep it remotely close.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I thought about taking it. It just made me a little nervous.
I mean, I could see this. I mean, this could be a 28-0 game. Yeah. I mean, Kentucky sucks.
Especially if their O-line is still hurt after the South Carolina game. They had two O-linemen go down. If they're on their backups against Georgia, it may look a lot like the South Carolina game for them.
What is the team total for Kentucky?
Let's see.
It's got to be low. I mean, it's got to be like 13.5.
Vegas Insider doesn't have it.
It's probably lower than that. We can do an implied. Let's see. What's the total for the game?
Total for the game is 45.5. Around there.
So
that's 24. Then it's 35-10. So it's going to be 10.5.
Probably, yeah.
I'm going to.
Let me try that on DraftKings.
I'm going. I want it to be bigger than this, but I'm going to say 35-10.5 is what the. That would match both numbers. That would match 45.5 and the 24.5 point line.
Yeah, that's the implied. I just wonder if they're juicing it one way or the other.
Let me know. I'm going to take under for Kentucky.
The team total?
Yep. As long as the team total's in the double digits, I'm taking under team total.
Yeah, it's probably got to be 10-12.
Unless Barry and Brown just breaks one, I don't know if they're going to score a touchdown on Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to run a kickback.
Punt return, yeah.
Or, I mean, Carson Beck's not throwing a pick six.
All right. Let's see. Let's go ahead and – Austin, do you remember that number? So I can find it really quick here.
Which one? For
Northwestern State in South Alabama. I'm going to take, what are they, the Demons?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take them plus 36.5. South Alabama not beating them that bad.
You got like an inside, you got inside information there?
I just think that number's way too big for somebody named South Alabama. I don't know. I mean,
Ben. Okay, wait, hold on. Here we go. Just doubling back to Kentucky real quick. It looks like over 9.5 is juiced -140, and over 10.5 is +110. So it looks like 10 is the number, right?
Yeah, I went under 10.5. Okay. Can I get under, do under 10?
Yeah, I think 10.5 is fair. I mean, it's +110 on DraftKings. I don't know where, like.
Yeah, under 10.5. I don't think, I mean, I guess they could score 13 or 14. I doubt it. That team that just played South Carolina, no way.
Yeah.
So
you're locked in on the Demons of Northwestern State.
So Gio Lopez got a toe injury, didn't play last week. Still uncertain if he's going to play this week. Lost to Ohio 27-20. They do a lot of, like, their defense got worn down. Ohio was just putting chew clock on, just running the football right down their throat. Ohio ran for 209 yards in that game. I just think that number is just way too big. Northwestern State put up 31 last week, had it on the doorstep on the one, and could not punch it in to win. I mean, I, way better offensively than they were last year. They've got a decent running back, got a good wide receiver in Miles Kent Denton. So he could have a couple big plays here or there. I just think that they're going to be able to score at least a couple times to cover that. I mean, that's a huge number, and South Alabama's on their second string quarterback. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Could be potential for bad weather too. So
yeah.
Thursday night, let's try to get a dub on the board.
Could be nasty, yeah. All right, I'm gonna roll a money line out. Give me Hawaii at Sam Houston State. I have no idea what Sam Houston State has done to earn this kind of respect. They're laying 4.5 against Hawaii, who's off a pretty respectable effort against UCLA in week two. They only lost by 3. Now, I know Hawaii on the mainland has not been great historically, but they did have a bye week last week, I believe, or have had some extended rest. So, you know, surely it won't impact them as much as if they were bouncing week to week here. I just think this is ridiculous. I think Hawaii is a better team. Sam Houston State was trash last year. They've showed at least a little bit of a pulse this year, but I think they're playing musical chairs at quarterback. I think 4.5 is a crazy number, so I'm going to take the money line. I think this is a high variance game where Hawaii may win 33-20 or lose 33-20. So give me the money line. Plus 164 is what I see, Zach.
Okay. Some perspective here. Hawaii, when they leave the island, early road games, 7-27 straight up, 13-21 against the spread, but those lines were plus 15. So they can cover that.
And I just think they've played teams that are better than this historically, like even in conference opponents in the Mountain West. We're better than Sam Houston State. It's one thing to go on the road and lose at Utah State or whatever. Like, fine. Yeah. They've been respectable over the years. I think this is different. Sam Houston State is – this is their second year in the FBS. Is that right? I think that's right.
I think that's right.
They're number – year 2 years in.
Yeah, I like this pick. Because, Timmy Chang's going to score points.
They're going to chunk it around, yeah.
I've got one more.
Dude, you got the whole card this week, buddy.
Let's go to Laramie, Wyoming, and I'm going to take over 39, if I can get 39, in BYU at Wyoming.
I like it.
That's just too low. That number is 2, or it may be 39.5, but I think it's 39. Either way, either number's too low for me. I'm not following that. That doesn't track. 39.5 is what I can get. It opened at 38.5.
Yeah.
Look, BYU, they had a decent game against SMU last weekend. It was low scoring, and this may be maybe it's supposed to snow. I don't know, but or they're supposed to have some weather, but BYU had a low scoring game last week, but you know, Wyoming is not great. And I think like this isn't cute Wyoming that beat Ole Miss, and this is bad Wyoming. This is NIL Wyoming. And so BYU is going to score 28, 31 points. And I just need to get 10 out of Wyoming to cover it. They'll do that. I mean, they'll give me 10. So I'm going to take over 39.5. Mostly because Wyoming's just not very good. They're going to give up points.
Yeah, and I think they're going to score because you're not going to get the altitude shock here.
Yeah, right.
BYU's used to it, so it's not going to be a random
4,000, 4,500 feet to 7,200 feet. No.
Yeah, so it's not going to be one of those weird ones for a Wyoming opponent to be like, oh, shit, like it's hard to breathe up here. They're going to be fine. All right.
I'm going to lob a grenade out there for my last money line here.
Yep.
You ready?
Yep.
Do it.
Tulane plays at Oklahoma this week.
I just got chills when you said that.
Tulane should have won the game Saturday against Kansas State. They got absolutely screwed at the goal line on the call and turned the ball over. Oklahoma's not good.
No.
They're not good.
Like, you only got to score like 20 to beat them now.
That's what I was going to say. Like, if they put up 17, they might win the game.
Do we know for sure that Jackson Arnold's even going to be good?
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody is trying to talk that into existence.
I know.
I can get you.
You talk about logo bias, helmet bias.
Yeah.
The dude was anointed. Like, we'd seen him throw like five passes, and suddenly he became a Heisman candidate. It's
one
ridiculous.
Of those podcasts y'all listened to said he was better than Jackson Dart. That's literal joke.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think he's terrible, but his offensive line is not good. He's not had time. His weapons are dinged up on the outside. They're not going to be healthy this week either. I just think Tulane is feisty, man. They got a really good coach. John Summerall is a legit defensive mind. I think he can make life difficult for this Oklahoma offense. And they were in an absolute dogfight with Houston last week.
I was going to say, Houston matched them blow for blow on the offensive line or at the line of scrimmage. Yeah. Oklahoma did not win up front against Houston.
Yeah. Maybe this is a get right for OU. Maybe it looks ridiculous. But if you're going to throw a dart at the dartboard, give me a team with a competent coach who's got athletes against a team who's struggling on offense. I'll take it.
I love it. I love it.
Not to mention a look ahead, because they have Tennessee next week, right? OU?
Yep. Home opener. Home SEC opener.
So let's hope Tulane catches them napping.
Zach, before we log off, will you tell us what we have so far, like picks?
So Austin's got Memphis, Florida State over 52, Auburn team total 44.5. Did you say over 44?
Yeah, over.
BC plus 16.5, Hawaii money line. Florida plus 3.5, Tulane money line, Washington minus 4.5, Colorado minus 7. Ben, you've got South Carolina plus 7, South Carolina money line, Oregon minus 16, Kentucky team total under 10.5, Florida State minus 6.5, Auburn minus 28, BYU Wyoming over 39.5, BC plus 16.5, Arkansas minus 24.5, Florida money line, A&M Florida under 46.5. And then yours truly.
That's so many picks.
I've got Alabama, Wisconsin over 49.5, Florida money line, Purdue money line, Texas State plus 1, Georgia minus 24.5, Northwestern State plus 36.5.
And we don't even have Nick's picks in yet.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to get loose this week.
Okay, so
we got
a road with Austin on Colorado minus 7. I was going to say that was Austin's pick, but yeah, that's right.
We got to make up for last week.
Yeah, we do. I think that's going to do it. I'm trying to make sure I don't have anything else. Shit, I don't even know.
I got one for you.
If you
want some free money, lay 22.5 with Michigan. Okay, they're going to blow out Arkansas State.
I was just about to say that, but like.
They looked like shit last week.
They did.
Texas is Arkansas really State good.
Sucks.
But it's Arkansas State.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That was on my board. Or at least Michigan team total over 33.5. I think that's what I saw earlier today. Here, I got you one. I'm gonna run with the hot hand.
11 with Nick's Bulldogs.
I'm gonna go with the hot hand. I sent y'all that video of Nebraska coming out of the tunnel in pregame. Come on, dog.
Yeah.
If you throw in Kodak Black on the Ox, I'm riding with you. I'm gonna lay 30.5 with the Cornhuskers over Northern Iowa. I think Matt Rule's got something there.
Yeah, Rail is pretty good. And along the lines of scrimmage, they were just so far superior to Colorado. It was just not even a fair fight.
Yeah, they were ready, and Colorado was not.
Was not.
No. So, all right, Nick will get his to us at some point. I guess Nick is don't know, maybe he's staying in Winston-Salem for 2 weeks. So he said he was packing, so I guess he's taking a while to pack. We'll get his picks in the spreadsheet, and we'll talk about those next week. Yeah, so Ole Miss, CW, make sure, like I said, check those local listings to make sure you got CW. But that'll do it for Hit That Line week three. As always, appreciate our folks at Home Field Apparel, homefieldapparel.com. Promo code is LASTDANCE24. You get 15% off your first purchase. You can also check out roback.com, roback.com. Juice is the promo code for 20% off there. And we appreciate everybody at College Corner, Drew Moak and USA Benefits Group. That will do it. We'll be back next week to get you some week four winners. So for Austin, for Ben, and for Nick, wherever he is, that'll do it. We'll talk to y'all next week. We out of here.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.